Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And we're at verse 1 about Amaziah. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. There's his name. It means Jehovah is mighty. That's what his name means, Amaziah. 25-year-old kid, and he's going to rule there. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Isn't that interesting? It's kind of unsettling to me when I read that, that he did that which was right, but not with a perfect heart. Which shows us that we can do things, but our heart isn't perfect, and God will accept them as right. Because there are no perfect people. Doesn't mean necessarily that we're going to do wicked things and God's going to bless it, but God is not on a reward system. And a lot of Christians think it's like training a dog. You tell the dog to sit, tell him to bark, roll over, lay down, and you give the dog a biscuit so he'll do it again. And we think that it's, boy, if we do good, God will bless us. And if we do our prayers right and our Bible study and our tithing and going to Bible study and church and home fellowships and we get out and serve the fire victims, God's going to honor us and bless us. He doesn't work like that. He's not looking for works of righteousness. It's by his mercy and his grace that he saved us. And so here's a classic example of a guy that did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, but his heart wasn't perfect. So if we do good, God blesses us, but I've found sometimes when I've failed that he still blesses me. And that's always kind of hard to figure out. Eventually, it shows us that God uses everything for his glory. So he can use anybody, anytime, any place, anyhow he wants to do. And it's not that you're Mr. or Miss Goody Two Shoes, that you're perfect in every way. He'll use Balaam's donkey if he wants to. He'll use whatever he wants. So I feel like Balaam's donkey a lot, and I let him use me. But I just get a joy out of being used by him. And I want you to remember that verse. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass when the kingdom was established, to him that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father, but he slew not their children. But he did as it is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. This tells us some important things. We cannot blame our parents for the way we are. We can't blame our upbringing for the way we are. We can't blame our surroundings for the way we are. We can't blame our childhood for the way we are. Each one of us is held accountable to God for how we handle our lives and ourselves. Accountability and responsibility as a human being for each one of ourselves. And you can't say, well, if only I had a dad that loved me, or if only my mother had not married four different men, or if only we had more money, we weren't from a poor family. No, the sins of the fathers are the responsibility of the fathers. The sins of the child are the responsibility of the child. So moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above. And he found them 300,000 choice men able to go forth to war that could handle spear and shield. And he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. I'd like you to underline that. The Lord is not with Israel. A lot of people had ideas about the fires, you know, and I was getting all sorts of emails. What if we do this? How about if we do this? And if I ran after every idea that somebody had, I'd be 107 years old myself. The Lord isn't in everything that you and I get involved in. Sometimes we make it up. And that can be a dangerous thing. We have to be focused on what God has called us to do and who he's called us to be. And we have to be cautious that we don't try to go everywhere. We have to be cautious we don't try to do everything. And it can be a painful lesson to learn when the Lord is with you or when he's not with you. But you have to learn that lesson. And this guy is saying, well, let's go fight this battle. And God sends a prophet and said, The Lord isn't with them. Why do you want to hang out with them? You know, when you get bored and you're idle and you got downtime, it's one of the most dangerous times in your life. But when you're really busy and you're moving fast and you got a lot to do, it's one of the most dangerous times in your life. You need to know when the Lord wants you to do what you do, with who you do it, and how you do it, and where you do it, and when you do it. You want to be led by the Lord in all things, and you don't want to be led by people, and they can have great ideas, but if God hasn't called you to do it, you don't want to be involved in it at all. But if you will go, do it, be strong for the battle, God shall make you fall before the enemy. For God has power to help and to cast down. Interesting that the guy knows that he's a strong-willed person. If you're going to do it, you better be strong. You're going to fall anyhow. Give it your best, but you're going to fall. For God is able to help or to cast down. Never forget who it is that you're serving. That God can, as it says in Psalm 75, verse 5 and 6, the Lord God, promotion comes neither from the east, nor the south, nor the west, but the Lord God lifts up one man and he takes down another. And this is what the prophet is reminding this guy. He has the power to help you, and he has the power to put you down, if that's what it's going to take to get your attention. I always like it when he has the power to help me. And then when he has to put me down to get my attention, it's painful. But when I grow through it, I know I'm not ever going to do that one again. And I want you to remember that verse. So underline that and say it out loud with me right now. God has power to help. Only a couple of you are trying to memorize it, huh? Okay. God has power to help and to cast down. Okay. And Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents? You know, he got 100 talents, maybe $10,000 or something. Wow, that's a lot of money. What are we going to do if we don't go to war then? He said, what do we do with the money I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Underline that. You know, to compromise your virginity, to compromise your ethics, to compromise your morals. I spoke at the fire and law enforcement banquet we had about ethics. And of course, several people were squirming. And there is a system south of the border that isn't the same as ours. And money is very involved. And for you to give away your morals, your character, your ethics for $10,000 or $5 or 50 cents or a bottle of beer or Mr. Zigzag wrapped very tightly, it's not worth it. And you say, well, what if I do this so it could pay my taxes, could pay my bills, could pay my rent? No, God is able to give you this and more. Remember, he has all the riches, every last one of them. In Luke 6:38, if you turn there with me, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. And so you may think that you have a lot right now. He's able to give you more. You may think you have a little right now. He's able to give you more. I'd like you to see what Jesus said in Luke 6:38. Here's what Jesus said. Not just words, but an action that you can do to receive blessings back. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it shall be measured back to you. So that's an interesting picture. It sounds like grapes being pressed together and the wine flowing over. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it's going to be measured back to you. So you may have a little and you give nothing. You start giving and you watch God give back to you. You may have a lot and don't give anything, but watch what would happen if you gave. He says he'll give more to you. Now turn to Malachi 3, verse 8, the last book of the Old Testament, just before the book of Matthew. God's speaking to the nation now because they didn't have this principle at this time. They were stingy. They held on. So the king needs to learn this. In chapter 25 of 2 Chronicles, the Lord is able to give you much more than you think. So in verse 8 of Malachi 3, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. So you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this entire nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So there's a great promise, if you've never read those verses before, that God holds back when we hold back, but when we give, he gives. Now look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able, see, the Lord is able. That's what it says in the Old Testament. It says the same thing in the New Testament. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To him who is able, God's able. And you and I are the ones that limit God. He's able to do far exceedingly abundantly. Now just think of those two words, exceedingly abundantly. I don't think that's good English. It might be, but some of you are school teachers here and you'll know if it is or not. But exceedingly abundantly means to me it's bigger than big. He's able to do so much more than you and I can think or imagine. And that's the realm you want to walk in. That's the realm of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And this is the realm the Christian community should be in. Far, exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, we have the availability in us to unleash God's riches to our community. And what do? To him be the glory in the church. Not to the pastor, not to the evangelist, not to the Christian workers. To him goes the glory. We're just his children serving him. And the king needed to learn this. He said, well, what are we going to do with those 100 talents we gave to hire him? Wow, we're going to lose that money if we don't use him. Hold it. God's able to give you much more than that. Why do you want to compromise yourself for some measly bucks? Forget it. And another point that we have here is, look at verse 13. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah from Samaria onward. And it came to pass after that, Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, and he brought the gods of the children of Seir, so he was stumbled by the idols. He set them up to be his gods because he realized they were powerful, and so he wanted their power instead of Jehovah's power. He bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. And because of this, because he looked to the Lord for his wealth and his strength and his power, it says the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet. And he said unto him, why have you sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of their hand? Isn't that interesting? Why are you going after some weak thing? And it came to pass as he talked with him that the king said unto him, are you made of the king's counsel? Forbear, why should you be smitten? For the prophet forbear and said, I know that God has determined to destroy you because he has done this and has not listened unto my counsel. And then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come, let us see one another face to face. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, now listen to this poem he gives him. The thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and stepped down on a thistle. So the little is asking of the big, and the little is so small that if a donkey came walking by and stepped on it, it'd be nothing. And sometimes we do that. We have to watch our roles. We're nothing, and God is everything. And we need to take God's counsel and not just ignore it and try to make alliances with the world. Look at verse 19. And you say, you have smitten the Edomites, and your heart lifts you up to boast. Abide now at home, and you should, why should you meddle to your hurt that you should fall, even you and Judah with you? Wow. He had a little bit of success, but he boasted about the success. He said, listen, You didn't do anything. God's done it all. You were just used by God, and you forgot. Stay at home. Just don't even go out and don't talk to anybody. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Why are you going to let your life be lost? And not only that, Judah's with you. Otherwise, it reminds us that when we get in the flesh, we take people down with us. And you have influence in people's lives. And if you misuse your influence, you are going to hurt other people. And you need to think of that. It might be your little cousin or your nephew or your niece, and it's the way you're dressing, and they're watching how you're dressing, or it's what you're watching on the video, or it's the music you're listening to. And there's all these little subtleties around us. It says, why do you want to meddle with the things of the world? And this guy just couldn't get the lesson. And you say it's all you. You've done nothing. You know, if you'll turn to Proverbs 11:2, there's a proverb there that goes quite well with this whole thing from the prophet to Amaziah. And it says, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. And because this man was not humble, he didn't have wisdom. Read that out loud with me. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Now look at Proverbs 16, verse 18. This follows right along with the king also. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So before a person falls, their marriage fails, their business collapses, they had a haughty spirit, possibly. A relationship falls apart, a little pride there. Destruction came into their life, and you wonder why. There's some pride there, and God was dealing with that pride. And this king is learning all these lessons the hard way. But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God, that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah, king of Judah, at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. He took all the gold, all the silver, all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Jehoaz, king of Israel, for 15 years. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. You know, when the curse of the Lord is against you, you can't run anywhere and you can't hide. And when you're hiding from the Lord, you're miserable. There are a lot of people in bars tonight that are hiding from God. And a lot of people doing things they shouldn't be doing. They think they're hiding from God, but everything's open to him. And the further you run, he's going to find you. So it's easier just to submit to him and just say, Lord, I surrender. It's just like that man. When he saw the love of God, the table in front of this little shack was covered with flies. The living conditions were not the best. When he saw a gringo come and sit down and love his father and love his sisters and brothers, that love said, and he said it himself, nobody was expecting this, I want to pray with all of you right now and surrender my life to God. If you're running from God, stop running. And let the Lord work in your soul. It's only your pride that has you on the run. It's a strong will, and you need to let it go. Now, you'll remember, in closing here, Amaziah's name means Jehovah is mighty. And yet he never lived up to the potential that his name said. He never let God be mighty in his life. And that's what you want to do. You want to let Jehovah be mighty in your life. And you want to do right what's in the sight of the Lord. And even if your heart isn't totally perfect, he knows that you're willing to be used by him. But as we look, we're going to see that there's about two or three kings following Amaziah that they get strong. and they strengthen themselves. But when they get to a place of power and strength, it says that they turn their hearts from God. And God, we all have an opportunity to leave here in just a couple of minutes and would like to thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word that is what you've given to the world that they deny so much, and yet in it we can see that there's life in it and there's hope in it. We'd like to just bow our hearts before you and ask you to forgive us of our sins and our pride. We see this king had so much potential just in his name to trust you, and yet he wanted to do battles on his own. He wanted to spend his money the way he wanted to spend it. He had no faith or trust in you. We can go live our own lives or we can walk with you. And we would pray, Father, you'd forgive us and you'd break our pride. And we would pray for any of our family members right now that we're estranged from, that your Holy Ghost would just heal those relationships. The Bible says that life is but a vapor, so thin. And tonight I read that scripture where the sins of the father are not visited on the child. The child has his own responsibility. John, we've known each other a long, long time. And though the child is responsible for his own sins, I know God, and I know he's answered your prayers all those years for that son and your wife's prayers. And your son is just not a vapor, but he's just a whisker away. And he's just waiting for you in heaven. Lord, I pray for everyone here who's lost somebody they love, that they be assured they're not lost in your eyes. That even the thief on the cross at the last minute could have a revelation of who Jesus is without any preacher, any Levite, any priest, any religious man, or a friend of Jesus even. They can just see. We pray that our lives could be so transparent, Jesus, that people would see you through us. We wouldn't sell out or compromise for 100 talents or 1 talent. There's so much more you're able to give us. And may we know you're able to do far exceedingly abundantly above everything we ask, think, or imagine. May we walk in that realm with you. And we bless your name. Amen.